So imagine you finally fix like a really stubborn kink in your garden house.
Right. Oh, yeah. Best feeling.
Right. So suddenly the water pressure is fantastic. Your entire lawn is getting perfectly watered in record time. And
And you don't even have to stand there holding it.
exactly. You're just thrilled. I mean, it's a total upgrade. But then, the end of the month rolls around, your water bill arrives, and it is absolutely astronomical. And well, the worst part, nothing is technically broken.
Right, your system is basically bankrupting you simply because it is finally functioning exactly as it was designed to.
Yeah, which is a terrifying realization for any operations team. When the core technology finally, hits its stride, the hidden structural flaws in your business model just suddenly become glaringly obvious.
Yeah, it's a real wake-up call.
So welcome to OpenClaw Daily by Tom Frazier. This is your morning executive snapshot. The goal today is pretty straightforward. We are unpacking Tom Frazier's latest memo to arm you with a concise, really grounded picture of OpenClaw's operational posture and policy exposure.
Because by the time you walk into your 11 a.m. decision-making sink this afternoon, you really need to know exactly what is happening under the hood.
Exactly. So what are we looking at today?
Well, we're covering three massive fronts on today's agenda. First, the latest AI agent releases. We're going to unpack why they're suddenly moving at breakneck speed and what that actually means for our production environment.
Right.
Second, we need to dissect the new plain English explainability feature. It looks like a massive product win on the surface, but, and this is critical, it is currently hiding some deeply concerning legal
Which
landmines.
we definitely need to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. And third, we are walking through a critical cost and risk watch list. As these new agents get more capable, they are actively threatening our profit margins.
Yeah. They really are. But let's do a quick vibe check before we get into the weeds here. This deep dive, it's all about separating exciting technical milestones from the actual operational realities.
Right, no AI hype today.
None. We are leaving the AI hype at the door. You listening right now, you have to make concrete decisions today on rollout timing, stakeholder communications, and, short-term engineering investments. You need the clear trade-offs, not the marketing copy.
And to accurately evaluate those trade-offs, we really have to start by looking at what is actually running in production right now. We have to look at the engine that is driving both our recent successes and, unfortunately, our spiking costs.
Okay, so let's get into the engineering side. Over the last two sprints, the engineering team has pushed three major agent deployments across staging and limited production. We're tracking version 1.8.2, the 1.9.0 beta, and a very specific internal hotfix labeled V1.9.A.
Right, and version 1.9.0 is the one really making waves, right?
Yeah, exactly, because it introduces two massive user-facing features that fundamentally change how the system operates. So the first is adaptive prompt conditioning.
Which is just a huge leap forward for user experience.
It really is. I mean, under the hood, instead of an agent starting with a blank slate every single time a user logs in, the system dynamically injects a user's past preferences and workflow habits straight into the agent's context window.
So it basically cures the AI amnesia that users always complain about.
Yes, exactly. It stops the agents from endlessly asking for the same repetitive clarifications over and over.
Right. And the second feature is even more disruptive from an architectural standpoint. That's multitask scheduling. We are finally moving away from agents executing synchronous linear steps where they just pause and wait for human reconfirmation.
Yeah, that old way was so slow.
It was. But now they operate on an asynchronous, event-driven queue. They can line up dependent actions, recognize when prerequisites are met, and just execute the next step independently.
It's like hiring an assistant who finally remembers how you like your spreadsheets formatted, thanks to the adaptive prompting, and who doesn't call you every 5 minutes to ask what to do next.
Exactly. It's genuine autonomy.
And when we run our canary metrics, basically, sending a tiny fraction of our live traffic into this new update, like a canary in a coal mine, to see how it performs, the data is genuinely impressive. We are tracking a 12 to 18% drop in average task completion time for workflows on the new version.
Wow, that's massive.
It is. And even more critical for our core product, we are seeing a 6% increase in successful end-to-end outcomes for third-party API orchestration tasks. I mean, the agents are just getting the job done.
But here is the catch. Despite those incredible performance leaps, our overall adoption rate is stubbornly stuck at 45% of production flows. The majority of our traffic is just being held back from this upgrade.
Which I'm looking at these metrics and wondering how that is even possible. I mean, if the tech is demonstrably better and faster, Why are we stalling out at 45%?
Well, the bottleneck isn't the technology. It is enterprise friction. Our enterprise customers, they operate under heavily locked down integrations.
Right.
They have strict compliance rules, internal audit requirements, and really rigid SLAs. They require extended validation windows before they will let a newly autonomous, asynchronous agent just loose in their ecosystem.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you simply cannot inject parallel processing agents into a legacy compliance pipeline that expects things to happen in a strict human-approved order.
But it goes deeper than just client hesitation, doesn't it? Internally, our own billing team is sounding the alarm. They flag some serious operational concerns about how this new asynchronous scheduling behavior interacts with our billing triggers.
Oh, right. Because of the parallel tasks.
Exactly. If an agent is spinning up three subtasks in parallel and queuing them for later, the timing of when a task is officially complete and, you know, billable, it becomes incredibly complex to track.
And that underlying complexity is exactly what triggered the need for the V1.9.0a hotfix you mentioned earlier. We ran into a race condition in the multitask logging system.
Right, yeah. For those prepping for the sync, a race condition happens when two parallel agent tasks try to write their completion status to the central database at the exact same millisecond. They essentially collide, and under heavy load, the system was quietly dropping audit entries.
Which is a nightmare for compliance.
Totally. But we've since validated the hotfix across a simulated 5x peak load. The architecture is stable now, and we haven't suffered any critical drop-everything incidents in production.
The tech might be stable now, but being stuck at 45% adoption creates a massive mixed experience risk for the company. I mean, having half our clients on a legacy flow and half on the new high-speed flow means our partner communications are going to be a nightmare to manage.
Yeah, our support teams are actively juggling two entirely different paradigms of agent behavior.
Which means we need to unblock that enterprise adoption. If our biggest customers are hesitant to upgrade because they need more trust and transparency, well, we have a silver bullet designed specifically to solve that problem. Let's look at the second item on Tom's agenda, the new plain English explainability pipeline.
All right, let's talk about that, because transparency in AI is incredibly difficult to achieve, but the pitch for this feature is actually brilliant. Model decisions are notoriously opaque. They're essentially just massive matrices of math.
Exactly.
But this new pipeline translates those opaque decisions into short, verifiable summaries designed specifically for non-technical users and downstream auditors.
And the UI draft for this is exceptionally clean. It basically surfaces three key elements to the user. First, a simple decision summary, so just one or two plain English sentences explaining exactly why the agent chose a specific action.
I love that.
Right. Second, it displays the key evidence used, surfacing up to three specific data points with direct source links. And third, it attaches a confidence band, categorizing the AI's decision as high, medium, or low confidence.
And we ran a pilot program with a cohort of 50 users, and the results were phenomenal. The users saw a 30% jump in their ability to comprehend system actions compared to reading raw logs. Their trust in the platform spiked, and the time it took them to triage flagged items just plummeted.
Right, but wait, I have to step in here. I'm looking at the pilot data right alongside Tom's memo. If 50 users absolutely love this feature, and it directly builds the exact kind of trust we need to push enterprise adoption of our new agents, why is Tom actively trying to kill this in the memo?
Yeah, he is really pushing back.
He is flagging this explainability pipeline as a massive compliance risk.
Well, he is flagging it because underneath that beautiful UI, there are two glaring gaps that keep legal teams awake at night. The first gap is something we should probably call the confidence illusion.
Oh, I like that framing. Walk me through the mechanism there. How does the illusion actually happen?
So when the UI displays a bright green high confidence badge next to a decision, that label is generated by internal probability heuristics from the AI model. It is purely mathematical confidence.
Okay, so it's just math.
Right. Model's internal vector math might show, say, a 95% statistical similarity to its training data. But a human user, and more importantly, a regulatory auditor, reads the words high confidence as a legal guarantee of factual accuracy.
I see the trap. Our internal probability math does not map to concrete regulatory boundaries.
Precisely. If a downstream auditor sees that our system flagged a specific data routing action as high confidence, and that action later turns out to violate a client's compliance boundary, we have handed them a very cleanly documented plain English liability.
Wow.
We are taking highly subjective internal statistics and presenting them to the market as objective legal guarantees.
It is essentially like a weather app stating it is highly confident it won't rain. And then when you go outside and get soaked, you sue the app developers because you relied on their stated guarantee.
Except in our case, the stakes are enterprise data compliance, not a ruined picnic.
Right. So until those UI confidence bans are strictly tied to vetted regulatory boundaries, they are dangerously misleading in a compliance context. And frankly, that is only the first gap. The second one is an architectural flaw that creates immediate contractual exposure. It's an evidence leak.
An evidence leak tied to the extraction pipeline, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. To provide those helpful source links in the UI, the extraction pipeline is bypassing our standard DRM layers. It is actively scraping raw proprietary content from our third-party data providers and passing it straight to the end user.
Wait, really? It is pulling someone else's licensed proprietary data, summarizing it for our end users, and doing so without checking the attribution licenses?
Yes.
Or even ensuring we have the contractual right to display that data in this specific UI layer.
It is a clear violation of how third-party data is licensed to be displayed. We are essentially stripping away their attribution watermarks just to make our UI look cleaner.
Oh, wow. So if you are prepping for this sync, the takeaway is crystal clear. Sales cannot market this feature yet. Before this explainability pipeline goes anywhere near general availability, we need a comprehensive legal review.
Absolutely. We have to produce heavily vetted, templated, explanatory language that redefines what those confidence bans actually mean. And we need different templates based on the audience. You know, one for enterprise customers, one for SMBs, and a highly specialized one designed strictly for regulatory audits.
Good, it is completely fixable, right?
It is, but it requires prioritizing a new development effort to build a licensing filtration step, and it requires legal to draft those templates and review our SLAs for how we report incidents.
Okay, so legal is demanding we build a massive filtration middleware to stop these data leaks. But even if engineering pauses to build that, we are bleeding cash right now just keeping the current beta running. Which brings us to the third item on the snapshot, the cost and risk watch list.
Because the bill always comes due, the operational realities we are facing today are pretty stark.
Compute spend for agent orchestration is up 28% month over month. I mean, that is an astonishing spike in our cloud hosting bill.
And it is directly correlated to the new features we were praising earlier. As more production flows adopt the parallelized agents and that incredible multitask scheduler, our infrastructure costs are skyrocketing.
But wait, I have to challenge the logic on those numbers. I'm looking back at the Canary data we just discussed. If the new agents are completing tasks 12 to 18% faster, our overall compute costs should be cratering, right?
You'd think so.
Yeah, we're utilizing the processors for less time per task. So why is a significantly faster agent costing us 28% more to run?
You should definitely anticipate Tom asking that exact question in the sync. The answer lies in how the new system handles long-tail tasks. In previous versions of our software, highly complex or heavily dependent tasks would eventually hit a wall, time out, and fail. They failed early, which meant they stopped spinning the GPUs.
Ah, I see. But now, because the new multitask scheduler is so persistent and capable, those long-tail edge cases are actually completing successfully.
Exactly. Success is expensive. The product is working better than it ever has, but forcing the system to grind away for hours to solve massive edge case problems consumes an immense amount of GPU compute time.
It's the garden hose metaphor, perfectly realized. The kinks are gone, the water is flowing perfectly, and we are just drowning in the utility bill.
And looking at the financial forecast, if we hold current adoption trends constant and usage grows another 25% this quarter, we are projecting an incremental $120,000 to $160,000 in monthly compute spend.
That is a significant hit to our margins.
It is technically manageable within the current overall budget. But without implementing a configurable per-task compute cap, we are going to severely erode our margins over the next two quarters. This is especially true for our high-volume customers, non-paying tenants, and anyone sitting on a legacy flat-rate contract.
But the raw cost of the compute is only half the problem, isn't it? The other half is the cost of managing the complexity we build. The memo highlights a genuinely terrifying operational risk tied to this rollout. We had a customer support escalation recently. Do you know how long it took our engineering team to reconstruct the precise sequence of agent decisions for that single incident?
4 days.
4 full days of cross-team forensic investigation.
And that is the direct result of a massive observability gap.
Yeah. When our AI agents operated linearly, reading a system log was like reading a book. You read page 1, then page 2, straight to the end. It was simple. Now, with parallelized agents spinning up subtasks asynchronously across different servers, reading the log is like reading a choose-your-own-adventure book where someone ripped out all the page numbers.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. If a client submits a ticket asking, "Why did the agent make this specific routing choice on Tuesday?" Tracing that single decision back through the asynchronous web is just a nightmare.
This is a critical point to internalize before your sync. If we scale this new asynchronous architecture without building a unified, easily searchable audit log, our cost per incident will skyrocket. Incident response times will tank.
Yeah, that's not sustainable.
Not at all. If a regulatory body ever requests a trace on an automated decision and it takes us 4 days to manually piece the narrative together, that is a catastrophic failure of our SLAs.
Okay, so we have the diagnosis. We've looked at the runaway speed of the V1.9.0 releases, the legal landmines hiding inside the explainability UI, and the margin-burning compute costs tied to our own success. So what is Tom's actual prescription? What is the game plan you need to advocate for in the 11.0 AM sync?
The core recommendation is a strategic pause. We need to officially delay the broad production rollout of version 1.9.0 beyond the current limited cohort.
Okay, so we pump the brakes on the rollout, but we accelerate the internal fixes.
Exactly. The recommendation is to spin up a specialized 2-to-3 sprint cross-functional team, pulling key players from engineering, site reliability, and legal. And this team has two immediate, non-negotiable, quick wins they have to hit.
Quick win number one is all about traceability. We need to instrument full end-to-end tracing for all multitask flows. Practically speaking, this means generating a single cryptographic token, a runit, at the origin of a request.
Right, so it tracks everything.
Exactly. Every single subagent in parallel task must inherit and log that specific token. If a support ticket comes in, an engineer should be able to query that one ID and instantly see the entire tree of actions across all microservices. No more 4-day cross-team investigations.
And quick win number two addresses the legal exposure. We need to build an attribution and filtration middleware step into the explainability pipeline. We have to stop the third-party proprietary data leaks before they ever reach the user.
That's crucial.
Very. The system must verify the licensing tags and ensure it has the contractual right to surface a piece of evidence before it ever renders in the UI.
So while that cross-functional team locks down the tracing and the legal leaks, we also have to initiate a short optimization track to stop the compute bleed.
Yeah, we have to rein in the long-tail tasks. Engineering needs to introduce smart retry logic.
Yes, specifically progressive backoff. If a background agent hits an API rate limit, it shouldn't just rapidly hammer the server and burn GPU cycles in a panic. It needs to back off, wait 1 second, then two, then four.
Makes sense.
We also need to start batching low-priority tasks to run during off-peak hours. And most importantly, we need to build in that configurable per-task compute cap we discussed. If a task spins for too long, the system needs to kill it before it drains the margin.
And parallel to all of this technical optimization, finance and ops need to run a strict 3-week cost attribution audit. We need the ability to map every single dollar of compute spend to specific customers, specific workflows, and specific agent types.
They really do.
Because we cannot make informed business decisions about whether to internalize these costs, start charging for overages, or heavily throttle our non-paying tenants until we have that data.
So, as you head into your sync, how should you frame all of this data? What is the ultimate takeaway?
The bottom line is this: what we are looking at today is not a technical failure. It is a classic product inflection point. The underlying technology is demonstrably improving throughput. User satisfaction is up. The core engine works beautifully.
Yeah, it's doing what it's supposed to do.
Right. The risks we are tracking are entirely operational and contractual. With targeted, disciplined investments over the next 4 to 6 weeks, we can broaden this rollout without triggering regulatory friction and without eroding our margins.
Let's do a rapid-fire recap so you have the narrative fresh in your mind for Tom. First, the agents in version 1.9.0 are incredibly fast and capable, but broader adoption is stalling out because enterprise clients require extensive validation time, and our internal billing integrations aren't built to handle asynchronous tasks yet.
Second, the plain English translations are a massive hit with pilot users, but those high-confidence labels are creating the illusion of legal guarantees, and the missing data attributions are a contractual trap just waiting to spring.
And third, we need to put a strict leash on our GPU spend with smart compute caps. And we have to plug the observability gaps with single-runned tracing before we even think about hitting the gas on a full platform-wide rollout.
The only question left is whether you feel prepared to prioritize these specific backlog items in your sync today. You have the performance metrics, you understand the mechanism behind the legal exposure, and you know exactly why the compute costs are spiking despite the efficiency gains.
We started today by talking about the paradox of the garden hose, how fixing the system perfectly can accidentally bankrupt you if you aren't watching the meter. We know the speed and the capability are there, but you know, here's a final thought I want you to mull over as you walk into that room.
What's that?
If our AI agents are now capable of working so independently and so asynchronously that they are actually outpacing our human ability to afford their compute, trace their logic, and audit their actions, are we still managing the AI? Or are we just rushing to build the infrastructure it needs to manage itself?
That is the architectural and philosophical question underlying every single decision on that agenda.
It really is.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us for today's briefing. Good luck in the 1100 AM sync.
Take care, everyone.